April 18th. Today's reading in the Old Testament will be from the book of Joshua, chapter 16, verse 1, through chapter 18, verse 28. Here is an overview of what's going on there just before we begin our reading of today's one-year Bible. Ephraim and Manasseh were Joseph's two sons, born to him in Egypt. Jacob adopted them as his own and gave them a special blessing from the Lord, which explains why these two tribes were given such valuable land in the heart of Canaan. Now, Joseph had kept the family alive during 7 years of famine, and his descendants reaped the benefits. They were wealthy because of Joseph's faith and his love and Jacob's special blessing. However, we must not live only on what our ancestors have provided. We must also claim an inheritance for ourselves and our children. The two tribes did a lot of complaining, but not much conquering. Now, in the case of Zelophehad's daughters, they had not because they asked not. In the case of the two tribes, they had not because they claimed not. I wonder if we're guilty of the same thing today. As we move into Joshua chapter 18, since it was centrally located, Shiloh was the ideal place for the tabernacle. During the years of Israel's wanderings, the tabernacle was in the center of the camp. Now, it was at the center of the land, accessible to all, and a reminder that the fear of God must be at the heart, the very center of the nation. Beware the sin of neglect. It was not the enemy that prevented the tribes from claiming their inheritance. No, it was their own indifference and indolence, laziness. The surveyors gathered the facts, but God gave the guidance needed for the allocation of the land. And the principle for you and me today is, we must cooperate with the Lord. If we want to know His will, we have to walk in His ways, walk in the light as He is in the light. Although we must not lean on our own understanding, God has given us a measure of understanding, and we must have that understanding in order for God to direct us. And with that, let's hear what the Word of God says as we read today from the Old Testament. April 18th, Joshua chapter 16, verse 1, through chapter 18, verse 28. The allotment to the descendants of Joseph extended from the Jordan River near Jericho, east of the waters of Jericho, through the wilderness and into the hill country of Bethel. From Bethel, that is, Luz, it ran over to Ataroth, in the territory of the Archites. Then it descended westward to the territory of the Jephthahites, as far as lower Beth-horon, then to Gezer, and on over to the Mediterranean Sea. The families of Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, received their inheritance. The following territory was given to the families of the tribe of Ephraim as their inheritance. The eastern boundary of their inheritance began at Ataroth-Adar. From there it ran to upper Beth-horon, then on to the Mediterranean Sea. The northern boundary began at the Mediterranean, ran east past Michmethath, then curved eastward past Taanath Shiloh, to the east of Janoa. From Janoa it turned southward to Ataroth and Nahara, touched Jericho, and ended at the Jordan River. From Tapua the border extended westward, following the Kana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. This is the inheritance given to the families of the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim was also given some towns with surrounding villages in the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh. They did not drive the Canaanites out of Gezer, however, so the people of Gezer live as slaves among the people of Ephraim to this day. The next allotment of land was given to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph's older son. Gilead and Bashan, on the east side of the Jordan, had already been given to the family of Machir because he was a great warrior. Machir was Manasseh's oldest son and was the father of Gilead. Land on the west side of the Jordan was allotted to the remaining families within the tribe of Manasseh: Abiezer, Helek, Azrael, Shechem, Hefer, and Shemaida. However, Zelophehad, son of Hefer, who was a descendant of Manasseh, Machir, and Gilead, had no sons. Instead, he had five daughters. Their names were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. These women came to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the Israelite leaders and said, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance along with the men of our tribe. So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with their uncles, as the Lord had commanded. As a result, Manasseh's inheritance came to 10 parcels of land, in addition to the land of Gilead and Bashan across the Jordan River, because the female descendants of Manasseh received an inheritance along with the male descendants. The land of Gilead was given to the rest of the male descendants of Manasseh. The boundary of the tribe of Manasseh extended from the border of Asher to Michmethath, which is east of Shechem. Then the boundary went south from Michmethath to the people living near the spring of Tapuah. The land surrounding Tapuah belonged to Manasseh, but the town of Tapuah on the border of Manasseh's territory belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. From the spring of Tapuah, the border of Manasseh followed the northern side of the Kana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. Several towns in Manasseh's territory belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. The land south of the ravine belonged to Ephraim, and the land north of the ravine belonged to Manasseh, with the Mediterranean Sea forming Manasseh's western border. North of Manasseh was the territory of Asher, and to the east was the territory of Issachar. The following towns within the territory of Issachar and Asher were given to Manasseh: Bethshan, Ibleam, Dor, that is, Naphath-Dor, Endor, Tahanak, and Megiddo, with their respective villages. But the descendants of Manasseh were unable to occupy these towns. They could not drive out the Canaanites who continued to live there. Later on, however, when the Israelites became strong enough, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they did not drive them out of the land. The descendants of Joseph came to Joshua and asked, "Why have you given us only one portion of land when the Lord has given us so many people?" Joshua replied, "If the hill country of Ephraim is not large enough for you, clear out land for yourselves in the forest where the Perizzites and Rephaites live." They said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and the Canaanites in the lowlands around Bethshan and the valley of Jezreel have iron chariots. They are too strong for us." Then Joshua said to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph, "Since you are so large and strong, you will be given more than one portion. The forests of the hill country will be yours as well. Clear as much of the land as you wish and live there. And I am sure you can drive out the Canaanites from the valleys too, even though they are strong and have iron chariots." Now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire Israelite assembly gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. But there remained 7 tribes who had not yet been allotted their inheritance. Then Joshua asked them, "How long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you? Select 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out to survey the unconquered territory. They will return to me with a written report of their proposed divisions of the inheritance. The scouts will map the land into 7 sections, excluding Judah's territory in the south and Joseph's territory in the north. Then I will cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord our God to decide which section will be assigned to each tribe. However, the Levites will not receive any land. Their role as priests of the Lord is their inheritance. And the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh won't receive any more land, for they have already received their inheritance, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them on the east side of the Jordan River." As the men who were mapping out the land started on their way, Joshua commanded them, "Go and survey the land. Then return to me with your written report, and I will assign the land to the tribes by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord here at Shiloh." The men did as they were told and mapped the entire territory into 7 sections, listing the towns in each section. Then they returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. There at Shiloh, Joshua cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord to determine which tribe should have each section. The first allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Benjamin. The northern boundary began at the Jordan River, went north of the slope of Jericho, then west through the hill country and the wilderness of Bethaven. From there the boundary went south to Luz, that is Bethel, and proceeded down to Ataroth-Adar, to the top of the hill south of lower Beth-Horon. The boundary then ran south along the western edge of the hill facing Beth Horon, ending at the village of Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, one of the towns belonging to the tribe of Judah. This was the western boundary. The southern boundary began at the outskirts of Kiriath Jearim. From there it ran westward to the spring at the waters of Nephtoah, and down to the base at the mountain beside the valley of the son of Hinnom, at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From there it went down the valley of Hinnom, crossing south of the slope where the Jebusites lived, and continued down to En-Rogel. From En-Rogel, the boundary proceeded northeast to En-Shemesh, and on to Geliloth, which is across from the slopes of Adumim. Then it went down to the stone of Bohan. Bohan was Reuben's son. From there it passed along the north side of the slope overlooking the Jordan Valley. The border then went down into the valley, ran past the north slope of Beth Hogla, and ended at the north bay of the Dead Sea, which is the southern end of the Jordan River. The eastern boundary was the Jordan River. This was the inheritance for the families of the tribe of Benjamin. These were the towns given to the families of the tribe of Benjamin: Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Kiziz, Beth Araba, Zimararim, Bethel, Avim, Parah, Ophrah, Kephar Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba, 12 towns with their villages. Also, Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephirah, Moza, Rekim, Urpiel, Tarala, Zila, Hailif, Jebus, that is Jerusalem, Gilbeah, and Kiriath Jearim, 14 towns with their villages. This was the inheritance given to the families of the tribe of Benjamin. April 18th. Today's reading in the New Testament takes place in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 27, where it talks about the day of salvation. Verse 10 is illustrated in the experience of Zacchaeus. Jesus came to him, and Jesus sought him and saved him. Kind of the same way he works with you and me today, and in the lives of those we love. Now, though he was surrounded by a great crowd of people, all trying to get his attention, no doubt, Jesus took time for individuals. And he even saw a man up there in a tree. Well, he's still the seeking Savior, isn't he? But now he uses your eyes, your hands, your lips to speak for him. Also in Luke chapter 19, during verses 11 through 27, we'll see that the Bible speaks of the day of evaluation. There are three possible relationships with the king. You can reject his rule and be an enemy, but that leads, of course, to judgment. You can accept his rule and be unfaithful, but that leads to loss of reward. Or you can accept his rule, do his will faithfully, and receive his reward. You are not to protect what he gives you, but to invest it for his glory. That's the theme of our reading today. So let's begin our reading of the one-year Bible in the New Testament. April 18th, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 27. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have overcharged people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost." The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. and because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. He said, "A nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 servants and gave them 10 pounds of silver to invest for him while he was gone. But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say they did not want him to be their king. When he returned, the king called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what they had done with the money and what their profits were. The first servant reported a tremendous gain, 10 times as much as the original amount. 'Well done,' the king exclaimed. 'You are a trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. So you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward.' The next servant also reported a good gain, 5 times the original amount. 'Well done,' the king said. 'You can be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "I hid it and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant.' 'You wicked servant,' the king roared. 'Hard am I? If you knew so much about me and how tough I am, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank so I could at least get some interest on it?' Then, turning to the other standing nearby, the king ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who earned the most.' 'But master,' they said, 'that servant has enough already.' 'Yes,' the king replied, 'but to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. And now about these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right here in my presence.'" Today we're reading Psalm 87. Here's an overview of what we'll find here. The earthly Mount Zion is a figure of the heavenly Zion, the city of God, and God's redeemed people. As you ponder this psalm, take inventory of your spiritual life. On what are you building? Are you building your life on God's foundation? Salvation is of the Jews, for God's gracious work in this world came through Israel. Your Bible is a Jewish book, by the way, and the Savior came from the tribe of Judah. When the church was born, the Holy Spirit came on Jewish believers in the temple in Jerusalem. To obey Him is to build on an unfailing foundation. Another good question to ask ourselves as we read in Psalms 87 today is, where is your citizenship? Some people like to boast about the place of their birth, but the once born do not have the blessings of the twice born. Through faith in Christ, God's children are enrolled in the heavenly Zion and will live with the Father forever there. And then the third question to ponder here in Psalm 87, what are your joys? Jerusalem is one of the few ancient cities that is not built by a river. The psalmist found all his joys in Jerusalem, and he wanted nothing more. By faith, you can drink of the river of his pleasures. Psalm 87, verses 1 through 7, a psalm of the descendants of Korah, a song. On the holy mountain stands the city founded by the Lord. He loves the city of Jerusalem more than any other city in Israel. O city of God, what glorious things are said of you! I will record Egypt and Babylon among those who know me, also Philistia and Tyre, and even distant Ethiopia. They have all become citizens of Jerusalem. And it will be said of Jerusalem, everyone has become a citizen here, and the Most High will personally bless this city. When the Lord registers the nations, he will say, this one has become a citizen of Jerusalem. At all the festivals the people will sing, the source of my life is in Jerusalem. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows.